The main source of hatred in the world is religion. And organized religion.
These Christian apologists are full of intolerance and expecting us to swallow it, but I'm not allowing this. First, they claim this is a Christian nation and then proceed to try to merge their little doctrine into biased legislation. Like we should give a damn about the God they praise or their book of contradictions written back in the days. Some mythological, hypocritical bullshit that tends to distort shit. And then you wonder why we all ignore this. You're atheists to each and every other type of God. For all you know, the one you worship ain't could be the fraud. Yeah, I know, we're taking it out of context. That's what you would say next. Like it's a fucking complex. Guess I'm an evil child of Satan. Keep on mocking me. Average Americans do not want a theocracy. So keep your mysticism deep inside your mental prisons and let us grown-ups make our own decisions. You can't avoid them, you can't ignore them. With every generation, they gon' spread the poison. The finger pointing and false anointing. They'll be rejoicing when everybody joins them. You can't avoid them, you can't ignore them. With every generation, they gon' spread the poison. The finger pointing and false anointing. They'll be rejoicing when everybody joins them.
Giving nothing to your bloodthirsty God, but total disregard. It's hard to believe in this intergalactic peeping Tom. It's got you all up in arms, but powerless to stop the bombs. People starving, it don't alarm him, he just moves along. Claiming omnipotence, but that shit is ridiculous. You dying in his name, but he remains so inconspicuous. And if he needs you to defend him while you worship him, we open up your holy text so we can see the worst of him. He ain't even the first of him, cause man believed in many gods. For many centuries, that equals up to many frauds. And many wars, that's believer against believer. Screaming, my God is the only one, so listen and believe us. I'm tired of your books, I'm tired of your lies. The rest of us caught in the crossfire, trying to live lives. We oppose you, you cry persecution, but you got the majority, so aren't we just a nuisance? Get serious.
You can't avoid them, you can't ignore them. With every generation, they gon' spread the poison. The finger pointing and false anointing. They'll be rejoicing when everybody joins them. You can't avoid them, you can't ignore them. With every generation, they gon' spread the poison. The finger pointing and false anointing. They'll be rejoicing when everybody joins them.
Who are you carrying all over this for? God? Is that it? God? Well, I tell you. Let me give you a little inside information about God. There's nothing out there for you. Don't be such a fucking chump. Stop deluding yourself.
You are listening to The Skeptic Era. It is March 20th, 2011. I am your host, Dowling Thomas, along with co-host R.W. The Rational Warrior.
How you doing, guys?
And we have a great show lined up for you today. We have guest Dr. Daryl Ray, the author of The God Virus. He'll be here explaining how religion affects our culture and our lives. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 888-815-9756. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter by searching The Skeptic Hour. Remember to visit theskeptichour.com for previous shows and upcoming show information. And today, before we get started, I'd like to talk about the disaster over in Japan.
Yeah.
I really would like to say I applaud Japan for their compassion and their morals during these tragic times. There's been no reports of looting, increased crime rates, or anything of that nature going on since this has all happened. That's really, I just don't know how to say I really appreciate that a lot. You can't have that over here in America. I mean, when you had Katrina, any kind of disaster, even a heavy snowstorm, there's looting, there's crime. And as much as we like to claim that we're superior in this whole Christian nation stuff, I like to say they're showing us quickly that they aren't that we're not the only ones that's supposed to be so moral. Actually, I think they have better morals than us in a lot of ways.
I think they do too. What do you think the reason could possibly? What's the major difference between their culture and the culture over here in the United States that makes it so that they don't react the same way we react to disasters and tragedies and stuff like that?
Well, they do have a culture that talks about that focuses on community work versus right. I think America's more individual. We like we're kind of selfish, kind of greedy. They kind of like to take care of each other. Like there's been reports of vending machine owners emptying out their goods in the machines, handing them out to everyone who's in need. Just don't find it here. The grocery store owners have cut their prices to. Their prices are so low, they cannot be making any profits over there. They're just trying to take care of one another. I could really appreciate that. You know, you have disaster over here. What, after 9/11, what, we were raising gas prices. There's store owners. Everybody was panicking. I mean, it's just really crazy. But I can say I appreciate that.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, where I grew up, I remember having a really bad snowstorm, and people that were trying to get home, they would get stuck, you know, at the light because the car just couldn't move anymore. And here you would have the neighborhood thugs taking advantage of that. You don't hear about any of that stuff happening over there. Right. That's admirable. That's really admirable, you know.
Yeah, some say it's because of Buddhist morals and the other religions that's over there, Shinto. And, you know, even though I don't agree with the religions and or believe in the gods or any of that prayer, but, you know, one thing I will say, if you ask me, that the Eastern, the Far Eastern religions are far more superior to the three Abrahamic faiths. So that's Christianity, Islam, and Judaism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their morals.
Yeah, definitely.
Exceptional. Give me the Buddhist scriptures any day over the Bible. I tell you that. If I was going to be a believer, I would want something like that.
Right.
I mean, you can't compare it to it. That's something that's really exceptional. And did you hear about Glenn Beck? Did you hear what he said?
I heard bits and pieces of what Glenn Beck said, because I rarely pay attention to Glenn Beck because he's an idiot. But I heard bits and pieces of it.
Glenn Beck, it's crazy that he has so many listeners. I think we have a clip of that. Let's play the clip of Glenn Beck, his comments.
I'm not saying God is causing earthquakes. Well, no, I'm not saying that either. God, what God does is God's business. I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, whether you call it Gaia or whether you call it Jesus, there's a message being sent. And that is, hey, you know that stuff we're doing? Not really working out real well. Maybe we should stop doing some of it. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying Glenn Beck's an asshole. You know what? I'm not saying that either.
You know, I mean, really? Really? Did you hear the disdain in his voice when he mentioned the name of some other deity, Gaia? Like, you call it Gaia? You hear the disdain in his voice? And for him to have the audacity to actually come out of his mouth and say that that the reason this happened is because some deity looked down and decided they didn't like what was going on down there. Where, in Japan? Really? Because if that was the case, shouldn't the United States have had a giant earthquake and tsunami a long time ago? If you look at the prison rates, the incarceration rates, right here in this country, like, the United States has the highest documented incarceration rates in the world. Like, I think they say that 754 persons in prison or jail per 100,000 residents. I think that was as of 2008. Like, we have more people in prison than almost anybody else on the planet. So clearly, whatever is the dominant faith over here or belief structure over here clearly isn't churning out great folks. It clearly isn't. It's hard for me to really believe that he actually said some nonsense like that out of his mouth.
You know, the officers over there, they don't really even carry guns.
Right.
And they don't have to carry guns. Their crime rates are so low. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have their little gangs, but they stay in their own little sectors, from what I heard.
Right.
They stay in their own sects. You know, even the crime over there is organized to that they don't overstep their boundaries. Not that that part is good or anything, but their police officers don't have to carry weapons. That's crazy.
Try that over here. try that over here in the United States.
Right.
Let the police walk around with billy clubs and batons over here.
You can't even walk around with, well, Christians can't even walk around with their cross and that defend them. That's
an absolutely ridiculous statement. But you know what? Glenn Beck is famous for making these ridiculous statements. And the truth is, it's really scary that there are people out there that actually listen to him and actually take what he says seriously.
You watch
his, ridiculous.
You watch his show where he draws all the pictures and the squiggly lines and then attaches meaning to some random pictures. It's just like,
I've seen the clips of it, and you know what? The only people that could possibly pay that any attention in regards to taking it seriously, they have to have went to school on a short yellow bus. Come on, man. Come on. He's a douchebag of the month.
Yeah,
that award goes to him.
Let's start a douchebag of the month award, and that's Glenn Beck. He wins the first ever douchebag of the month right there.
You know, he narrowed it out past Rush Limbaugh and the nonsense he said fairly recently about the Japanese thing and them recycling and all of this stuff. I mean, these guys, I'm telling you, man, the discourse in this country is getting more crass as the time goes on. And all these people claim that their actions are informed by their belief system.
And for all the people out there that feel like we should just leave religious people alone and let them have their beliefs, what is the difference between someone having crazy beliefs and them acting on it? I mean, just thoughts lead to actions. If people think these crazy things, I can't sit back and watch. I'm sorry, I have to say something about it. I have to say something about it. You know, they're trying to get creationism in the schools and teach bad science, make policies based on religion, and tell who they can't get married. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
No, I will not sit back and be quiet while, you know, their policies affect my life. And I don't believe in it. It shouldn't be that way, you know?
And, you know, it sets a bad precedent anyway for them to be out and spewing the rhetoric that they spew and nobody challenges that. That sets a bad precedent. Because I've always said, you know, belief informs actions. You know, remember we interviewed Nate Phelps
right
in our first show? You can see just how beliefs inform actions by what the Westboro Baptist Church was doing. Those very extreme, very belittling belief system that these people have when it comes to other people, this informed their actions to stand outside of a soldier's funeral and say some of the most vehement, some of the most venomous things out of their mouth at a time when people are mourning the loss of a loved one. So no, there'll be no sitting back on our hands while the rest of them get to go out there and spew all this nonsense. No, I refuse to allow it myself. That's right. I'm not doing it.
And besides that, they have free speech. Why shouldn't we? It seems like everybody wants to play the victim card for the religious when. And they can say whatever they want as long as they put God on the end of it. They can say whatever they want, but when you don't believe and then you say something, it's a crime to speak against it. We're not the ones sitting on corners doing street preaching. Nobody's stopping them from doing that. If we go on the corner, and hang up a God is not real sign or something like that, we've alerted the police officers.
they will go bananas. You understand? you already saw the incident. Was it just last holiday season? Some atheist group put up a billboard that said, you know, it's not real. Do you realize the stink that it caused? You know, I heard a lot of these commentators in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call them news journalists for real. They're the, like, Glenn Beck's and the Rush Limbaugh's. They start in Hannity, Sean Hannity, running around talking about there's a war on Christmas. Man, there's no war on Christmas. If you really want to know what there's a war on reason and critical thinking and skeptical thought. Because the moment you are skeptical about anything that they hold up as their holy grail as far as concept of how the world works or what created the world, oh, my God, they're on you. They're on you 24/7, calling you you're hateful all of a sudden. And why are you picking on us?
Right.
And all I'm doing is disagreeing with you.
We don't care about the holiday. I mean, I don't mind, you know, it's good food on the holiday. I don't mind Christmas at all. I get the day off. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I don't believe, but thank you for the day off, you know.
I'll take it.
All of those holidays, I'm off. I'm off.
Right. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Right. And right now, well, we're going to take a break and play some material from the Code of Dusty. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Dusty Smith, the People's Atheist, and you're listening to The Cult of Dusty, only on The Skeptic Hour. You know, I was a Christian for over 30 years, and in that 30 years, I interacted with a lot of Christians, and I got to know a lot of Christians, and I had a lot of Christian friends. And one thing I found out that pretty much all Christians have in common is that they think the Bible is really fucking boring. And there's a good reason they think the Bible is boring, because the Bible is fucking boring. You know, I felt this way when I was a Christian, and I found that most of my Christian friends felt exactly the same way. The Bible was a very long, boring book. The stories in it were boring. The language was very hard to follow and boring. And most of it is this one begat that one, that begat that one, that begat that one. And it's just the same retarded, repetitive bullshit over and over again. It's really fucking long and boring. And that's why most Christians don't read the Bible. They don't read it for the same reason that I didn't read it. You know, not one single time in the 30 years I was a Christian did I ever read the Bible from cover to cover. Now, since I've been an atheist, I've read the Bible 11 times. The Bible is much more fascinating to me now than it ever was when I was a Christian. In my experience, an atheist is much more likely to have read the Bible and to be familiar with what it actually says than a Christian is. And I guess that's probably why the atheist is an atheist to begin with. Because if you actually know what the Bible says, it pretty much pushes you to atheism because the Bible is so fucking horrible. But I understand exactly why you Christians don't read it. I mean, you already believe it's true, so there's no real reason to read the boring-ass thing. I mean, reading it isn't going to make it any more true, so why waste your time? So, in place of actually reading this boring-ass book for yourself, many of you go to church every Sunday, and you pay somebody else to read the book for you and tell you what it says. But let me tell you something. If the preacher actually told you what the Bible said, you would stop paying him. You would stop paying him real fast if he was honest about what it said. If he pointed out to you that the Bible supports slavery and genocide and child sacrifice and torture and rape and sex slavery, you would stop paying him. You people would not pay him if he told you that, and that's why they don't tell you that. That's why they paint the Bible as all rosy. They paint God as an all-loving God who loves you. He loves everybody. That's why they pick and choose. They quote mine from the Bible. They find the stuff that makes the Bible look as good as it can possibly look, while at the same time ignoring all the horrible, terrible, bad shit in it. And they don't emphasize all the bad stuff. They downplay that shit as much as they possibly can. And really, who can blame them? They're only doing their job. They're only doing what they have to do to make a living. If they did it the other way, you would not pay them. So they're doing what they have to do to get by. And don't think for a second that the preachers don't know exactly what they're doing. Don't think that each and every one of them hasn't read the Bible from cover to cover, and each one of them doesn't understand the points that they need to hide from you. They understand perfectly what they have to tell you to get you to keep coming back every Sunday. They understand perfectly what they have to tell you to get you to keep putting money in the offering plate. Your preachers understand exactly the con job they have to pull on you to keep making money. And that's exactly why a lot of these preachers and a lot of these churches aren't even really Christians, they're just con artists. People like Ted Haggard, they've read the Bible, they understand exactly what it says. And they know it's bullshit. They know it's full of fairy tales and bullshit, and they know just how to spin it to get dumb people to give them money. They know that most of you people won't read this long, boring, hard-to-understand book yourself. A lot of these preachers know the truth, and the truth is that you people are so afraid of death that you will believe literally anything as long as they tell you that you're going to live forever. And many of you will pay handsomely to be told this fairy tale. And that's exactly why a lot of con men flock to the ministry, because they know that people will pay handsomely to be lied to, and they have no problem lying to you. They have no problem telling you what you want to hear. So Christians, I want to challenge each and every one of you. Instead of paying some other guy to read the Bible for you and tell you what it says, I challenge you to actually go out and read the Bible for yourself. Start at Genesis and go all the way through the Bible and read it. Read it for yourself, because I can assure you these con men preachers are not telling you the truth. They're lying to you about what the Bible says. The Bible actually means what it says. It doesn't mean what these con men preachers tell you it says. It doesn't mean what their interpretation of the words are. It means what it actually fucking says. So put your money where your mouth is and go read the goddamn thing yourself. And if you go read the Bible from cover to cover, and after reading all the awful, terrible, horrific shit that it actually says, if after reading all that somehow you're still a Christian, then fine. At least you'll no longer be a fucking hypocrite about it. For thecultofdusty.com, I am Dusty Smith, and as always, until next time, logic.
You know what? Dusty has a good point there, because I waste so much money in church over the years tithing. I wish I could have all that money back. It seemed like the more money I made, the more money the more money I would give. I would just tithe and tithe and tithe. And it was out of fear too. I feared that I thought it was like I was being blessed.
Yeah, you would lose your blessings if you didn't.
Right. It's because I'm being, you know, so obedient and giving when I'm supposed to, that he's blessing me with more. But while totally ignoring all the kids that's starving and shit in the world, it was just oblivious to me.
Well, did you ever think that maybe the reason that you were getting all those things that you wanted was because you were, and this is a wild and crazy idea, working for them? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It never crossed your mind, because I hear people always giving credit to outside forces that they can't even prove exist for the successes and the things they've gained and achieved in life, and completely forgetting about the fact that they're doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing the work. And, you know, Dusty, first of all, I love Dusty's YouTube channel. I got to say, you know, I love his commentary on stuff. But he made a really good point when he's talking about how most Christians, I would say, at least a great portion of them, have not really read the Bible all the way through. Because I think, didn't the Pew Research Research Center Forum on Religion and Public Life, they did a study not too long ago, and they think they said that on average, Americans correctly answer 16 of the 32 religious knowledge questions on the survey. But when you start breaking down the statistics, atheists and agnostics, they average 20.9 correct answers. Now think about that. That's more than the people that have wholeheartedly accepted this as their way of life, go about the world trying to convince others that it's true and convert them. And yet, in a study such as this, they couldn't even answer more questions than people who don't believe in it.
Right. And the Bible does talk about some really horrible shit. It's some really crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
And people don't expect it. I guess when you haven't read the book, you've been told so many good things and just thought Jesus is love. And read the Bible. Read the Bible. It says some really terrible stuff in the back there. You know, it talks about rape. Like, what about when it mentions if a woman is raped, and she doesn't scream? If she doesn't scream, then stone her, because she obviously must have wanted. I mean, if you think that God actually made up a law system like that, then he is inferior to what we. I mean, I can't even talk because it's crazy. like what if sorry God, what if the rapist was covering her mouth? What if she was in shock? I mean, gonna stone a woman because she was raped because she didn't yell? You didn't hear her yell?
All of that stuff is ridiculous. All of that stuff is a direct result of a bunch of barbarous post-Bronze Age nomads, right? And it's clear, because only they would think that way. You know what I mean? We evolved morality over time. You know, it wasn't something where someone just told us, some father figure in the clouds pointed down at us and said, you do this, you do that, and if you do not, I'll send you to hell. No, we are a social creature, and we learned over time that our chances of survival increase when we work together, because you might have some skills that I do not possess. I'll have skills you do not possess. So if we work together, we can actually accomplish some stuff, but we can't live together if I keep killing you
right, or
stealing your stuff. So we put together, you know, laws and stuff like that. And a lot of it is very, it's the type of stuff that you wouldn't want someone to do to you. So don't do it to somebody else. That whole idea that we got morality and all of this stuff from some supernatural being is completely ridiculous, because if you really look at it, to tell me that it took a God to tell you not to kill your neighbor lets me know that without that, you would kill your neighbor.
Right. Or I hope they won't, but gosh, Lee. You know, people that think like that, who have that idea that if they stop believing in God, they'll become immoral killers and, you know what? You keep going to church. You keep going to church.
Oh, exactly.
So I can be safe. If you're that crazy that you need some kind of outside guidance to know not to cut your neighbor's head off, please do me a favor and keep going to church, okay? And right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be interviewing Dr. Daryl Ray, discussing the God virus.
I am Justin Griffith, a Foxhole atheist. Though I am an active duty sergeant, I do not speak on behalf of the Department of Defense. I'd like to tell you from experience that I need your support right now. On September 25th, 2010, the soldiers at Fort Bragg were treated to a massive evangelical Christian membership drive festival called Rock the Fort. This was billed as a spiritual fitness event, and dozens of high-ranking officers worked on it for nearly a year during the duty day using upwards of $100,000 in government-controlled funds. This event's stated purpose was to convert as many soldiers, spouses, and civilians to their particular brand of Christianity, bragging about converting 500 soldiers at one event, 200 at another event on their websites, which have since been scrubbed. This event was heavily protested before it even hit Fort Bragg, as Constitution watchdog groups were watching this very closely by that time. Responding to the outpour of calls to cancel, Fort Bragg stated that they would not be canceling because they would be willing and able to provide equal support to any other group. The non-religious community at Fort Bragg is very pleased to be the first group to take them up on that offer, with Rock Beyond Belief, the festival for the rest of us, coming to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Several great speakers, including Dan Barker, Margaret Downey, Nate Phelps, and even Richard Dawkins, joined musicians Roy Zimmerman, Spoonboy, Aiden, and even rapper Baba Brinkman of the Rap Guide to Evolution fame, and many more, all at the main post parade field on Fort Bragg. Remember, as with anything labeled spiritual fitness, the other guys were telling soldiers that they weren't fit unless they get right with their God. No religious preference demographic is second only to Christianity on Fort Bragg, ahead of the next by two orders of magnitude. There's absolutely nothing wrong with or unfit about not being spiritual. Help stop the Army's unwritten policy of don't pray, don't say. Support Rock Beyond Belief. Find out more at rockbeyondbelief.com. Oh,
hey, yo, this is your favorite atheist rapper, Sickness, and you're listening to the Skeptic Hour.
In the endless reaches of the universe, there once existed a planet known as Krypton, a planet that burned like a green star in the distant heavens. Their civilization was far advanced and had brought forth a race of supermen, whose mental and physical powers were developed to the absolute peak of human perfection.
The world is doomed, it's consumed, too much almost out of room. Mushroom, watch it bloom, watch it go boom, boom. Like Tesla, I'll shock you, watch a complacent gesture, yeah. But your heart can take the pressure like Brett the Hitman, the wrestler. I'm the professor, yes, cause I profess to be Escher, the sketcher of rap. Eat you like Hannibal, the cannibal, and I hack at you. Betcha, you better bet that I'll get you. How to set you before I let you get spread on the stretcher. Tell myself I'm Osama, sick, they're never gonna get you. Hope these lyrics on this bullet in your head will infect you. I'm the bad guy, the jester, cause in jest I contest your most cherished belief. That's why they say my songs are molested. I hit a bigot with a big hit. You get it, I dig it, I spit it like a fucking kid in the confessional. Get it, he took his erection and bit it. You betcha he did it. Forget the other half, father up in heaven, you'll get it.
I'm a man, I'm a human being. All I do is breed and ruin things. I'm a bad man, out the blue streams, blue of things. This world is doomed, it seems, cause I'm a man. I'm a human being. All I do is breed and ruin things. I'm a bad man, this world is doomed, it seems. I'm dying as a music.
Yes, I'm about to polish off all your holocaust. All your holla Mazel Tov. Wanna shower, gotta wash. Fucking fatty waddle off. Waffle House, lot of cars. Lot of starving kids on this earth, and we want them off. Wanna Walmart on your block? Yeah. Pray you hired on your boss. Fucking mom and papa shops, I bought the lots for half the cost. Fucking diamonds, wanna watch? Watch it bling, watch it watch. I walked up to the African, miner's hand and chopped it off. Are you proud to be human? Are you proud to be stupid? Are you proud to shout out loud that you doubt evolution? The world was made for you. Don't think about what you're doing, about what you ruin, polluting, or about what you're losing. The sky was blue and now you turned it into a new one, a brown one with black clouds, perfume of pollution. What we're pursuing, it's an illusion. Keep building, keep using, keep growing, and keep on consuming, cause we are human.
I'm a human being. All I do is breed and ruin things. I'm a bad man, out the blue streams, blue of things. This world is doomed, it seems, cause I'm a man. I'm a human being. All I do is breed and ruin things. I'm a bad man. This world is doomed, it seems. Dying as the music scene.
Believe this one. He plans to strike tonight. Beware, you fools. My electromagnesium ray strikes tonight at 12. Total destruction will come to those who laughed at me and failed to heed my warning.
Come and try to stop me.
Beat my catalyst,
called antagonist. Watch me tackle this spectaculous rapper. Can't fathom how miraculous this package is. Fabulous like a faggot is attacking this ravenously. Handcuff us to Shaquille O'Neal, you still couldn't shackle us. Look at me, I'm bragging while the planet collapses. While the Paxil in my brain dances on my synapses. You're about to take your fucking cash and shove it right up your asses. And rap to you while I do it like you're fighting with Cassius. Muhammad Ali, I drop them rounds on your asses. I'm tech, now with a masses. You know you like me your best. The world's on fire, we've ignited the matches. When everything is gone, we'll probably fight over ashes. I'll revile the masses, quick to hire the fascists. Like, let's see who can pile the bodies higher the fastest. Ignore time as it passes, but when you look back, your memories will be painted black like blind colored glasses.
I'm a man, I'm a human being. All I do is breathe and move and think. I'm a bad man, I pollute the streams, blew up things. World is doomed to cease, cause I'm a man. All I do is breathe and ruin things. I'm a fat man, this world is doomed to seem. Dying as the music seems.
True to his threat, the mad Zionist, good warning to build the city in a grip of terror, went on his rampage of destruction on the stroke of midnight. The deadly impact of his mysterious rain smashed the famous tower base, hurling cars and pedestrians into the river below. The police have warned everyone to remain in their homes.
You're listening to The Skeptic Hour. Thank you guys for listening today. That was music by Sickness, Human Beings. And it is, I've been waiting for this interview all week long. We'll be interviewing Dr. Daryl Ray, the author of The God Virus. I enjoyed reading his book so much, and it made so much sense, the parallel that you mentioned between how a virus infects people and how religion will infect people. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to talk to him about it. Hey, Dr. That's Ray.
Hey, good to be on here, guys.
How you doing, Doc?
Doing very well. Looking forward to talking to you guys.
We've been waiting for this interview all week long.
Good. Well, I noticed you talked with Donald Wright recently, and I met him. I've read his book. I really like what he has to say, so I feel like I'm in good company here.
Oh, yeah, Donald. He's a great guy. He's a great guy and a great book.
I love that book, too.
Yeah, very good book, and a super guy. I really like him, so, yeah.
And Dr. Ray, you grew up in Wichita, Kansas?
Yeah, the heart of fundamentalism.
You know, I was just thinking before the show, Dr. Ray, I was thinking, Kansas turns out a whole lot of free thinkers. Why do you think that is? If you think of it, it's yourself, Nate Phelps, Bart Ehrman, all of these people were in Kansas.
Well, it may be. Maybe because we're so sick of it, we kind of go the other way. I don't know.
But yeah, it's so fundamentalist here that when we get outside of it, we just see things we didn't notice before. What? People have sex before marriage? Not everybody goes to church on Sunday? I mean, if you're living in Kansas, it's like you're living in this religious bubble. It's just...
Well, that's true. But let me tell you, when I was going to church 3 to 5 times a week, the good Christian girls, the good Baptist girls, the good Catholic girls in town were all having sex. I can tell you that. We had a surprising number that got pregnant by immaculate conception, I guess.
Apparently, God was getting around, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, and Dr. Ray, you did your undergrad at Quakers College in Wichita, Kansas, am I right?
Friends University. Yeah, it's a Quaker college, but it's named Friends University.
Friends University, okay. All right, and you received a doctorate in psychology from Vanderbilt?
Yep, right. Yep. Right. Practiced clinical psychology for about 10 years after that, and then went into corporate psychology.
Right. And you were raised in a really religious family. Was it as bad as the Phelps experience or not nearly?
You know, I don't have a lot of complaints. Yeah, we had to go to church 3 to 5 times a week. But, you know, my parents are really good. I had great both sides. My family were good. I love my family. You know, the fact that they didn't know any better. It's not like somebody was intentionally doing something bad. And I'd learned, I learned a heck of a lot. Like, I loved Dusty today. That was hilarious. I was still laughing about that. Definitely. But like Dusty, I sat down and read that Bible cover to cover, and that made a big impact on me. That's the best way to become an atheist. Read the darn Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I went on to get a master's degree in religion. I don't think we mentioned that. But my master's degree is in church and community from Skerritt College for Christian Workers in Vanderbilt. So I thought I was going to go into ministry.
Wow.
That was my goal.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your journey from belief to disbelief. How did you get to this place? You know, how did Satan get his hands on you?
Well, I don't believe in Satan about as much as I don't believe in any God. So rationality got a hold of me. That's what it was. You know, it really started pretty early when I was 12 years old, and I found some shark's teeth way up high on the top of a mountain. I came back to my aunt and my mom, and this was in New Mexico. We were on vacation. I said, "Hey, what's the shark's tooth doing way up there?" And they said, "Well, God put it there in the flood." And I thought, you women do not know. You don't have a clue. So from that point on, I was I cannot remember ever being doubting evolution in my entire life. Even when I was very religious, I never doubted evolution. It just made so much sense. So, I was very religious. Despite that, I read the Bible. I took a number of Bible classes when I was at Friends University, and then I went on to Skerritt College and got a master's degree. So I knew what the heck I was getting into. But by the end of 2 years of study in my master's, I can't tell anybody else what to believe if I don't believe it. So I was pretty much, I was an extremely liberal Christian by the time I finished that master's degree. And I was married, and I was having kids, and my wife wanted to stay religious, and she wasn't super religious either, but she wanted to keep the kids in some kind of church setting, so we did. So it was just hard to make that final break until, unfortunately, got divorced. And divorce really helps you change a lot of things, and that was one of them. I no longer had to pretend. I could just step out and say I'm about that time. I could say out loud I was an agnostic. I didn't really say I was an atheist or even dream it hardly until I was about 40 years old. And you know, I'm 39 now. So
now, Dr. Ray, you say in the book that religion is like a virus; it infects our culture and our lives. Can you explain to the listeners a little bit what you mean when you say religion or God, the God virus?
Yeah, it's it sounds kind of odd to talk in those terms, and people question me a lot when they first hear about it. But the best way to explain it is ask your listeners, have they ever had a computer virus? And almost everybody does, except me. Of course, I have a Macintosh, so I don't get computer viruses. And that's an unpaid advertisement there. So if you get a computer virus is a program that gets on your hard drive, and it executes certain actions, and then it wants to go from your hard drive to the next hard drive. Now, as I talk, I use the word wants to. I said it wants to, like it has a will of its own. It really doesn't have a will of its own. It's just a program executing as it was put together.
Right.
So when I say, have you ever had a computer virus? And they say yes, and that computer virus came from somebody else's computer to yours, and then tried to get from their computer to somebody else's computer, it's spreading. It's spreading very much like a virus does, a cold virus. When somebody sneezes, they have been taken over by that cold virus. The cold virus will take over your nervous system and irritate it so that you will sneeze. You can't stop sneezing. And the purpose is to get the virus out of my nose into your nose or from your nose to my nose so that it can propagate. So the parallels are remarkable between a biological virus or a computer virus. Now think about religion. Religion is simply a program, and it's a program that wants to execute inside of your brain. Your brain is a computer. It's a very sophisticated computer, but it's still a computer. And when you put this virus in there that takes over, all it wants to do is get from me to you, or from me to my children, and to my children's children, and so forth. It's unthinking. It doesn't have a will of its own any more than a computer virus has a will of its own. It is a, well, it's a survival mechanism. Those kinds of computer viruses that are survive are the ones that have got survivability in the environment, just like a cold virus. The best viruses are going to propagate. The worst ones aren't. Right now, it's an evolutionary thing. If you think about it, in the world, in the whole of life on Earth, probably 99-point-some% of all the species that ever lived on the face of the Earth are dead. They're extinct. Less than 1% of all the species are still alive. Well, the same thing is true of religions. 99% or more of all the religions that ever existed on the face of the Earth are extinct. Only 1% or less are still alive. And those are the most successful ones. And as I say in the God Virus, the book, religions are propagate just like evolution propagates. It's an evolutionary process. And it's a process of how ideas, in this case parasitic ideas, get from one brain to the next. Now, there's more parasitic ideas than religion. That's a given, but I don't go into those in the book. I mean, I think right. there's other crazy ideas that propagate in the world. I mean, Marxism, I think, is a crazy idea. Nazism was a crazy idea.
Exactly.
And then you mentioned that, you mentioned once the virus infects an individual, Dr. Ray, it promotes certain behaviors or kind of guilt-inducing ideas that may, you know, include rituals, communion, baptism, bar mitzvah, daily prayers.
Yeah, yep, right. So, yeah, when it gets in, if you think about the rabies virus, when the rabies virus gets into your brain, if you unfortunately get infected with it, it will force you to start doing things you would not normally do. The virus literally takes over your central nervous system. Well, ideas can do the same thing. If you think about a Catholic, somebody who was raised Catholic, the minute they walk into a Catholic church, they instantly genuflect and cross themselves. And they don't even think about it. It is so programmed into them. Yeah, it's an instant program. And in my talks, I actually ask people this question. If you were raised a Catholic and you go into a Catholic church, all these programs fire off. But what if you were raised a Baptist and you walk into a Catholic church? None of the programs will fire off. None of them. But the Baptist walks into their own home church where they were raised, and the Baptist programs will fire off. And one of the main parts of those programs is guilt. The religion has to teach you what to be guilty of. Muslims feel guilt about a certain set of behaviors. Baptists feel guilt about a slightly different set of behaviors. Catholics, even different set of behaviors. Now, there's some overlap, don't get me wrong, I know that. But every religion teaches its own special guilt formula.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important thing to realize in this whole viral metaphor is the virus gets in your head, changes your behavior, and starts saying if you just genuflect, if you just cross yourself, if you just sing the hymns, you're going to feel better. And you do. It's self-fulfilling. It becomes a nice, comfortable thing. But you have to learn it in a given church. And the only place that you can get forgiveness is to go back to that church. So let's say Catholics say, you know, you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. Well, you know, you screw your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Where do you go to get forgiveness? I don't know any Catholics that go confess to the Baptist ministers.
Right.
I don't know any Muslims that confess to the Catholic priests. They all go straight. They have to go back to their particular God virus. That's the only place you get forgiveness. And it's got to be pretty specific. The Nazarenes don't go over and confess to the Baptists. I mean, even those are pretty closely related religions. They still can only get forgiveness from the guilt they learn from their particular religion. I call it a guilt cycle. And it's a perfect con game, as Dusty was talking about in his thing, the con artist. Well, and that's what all of religion is. It's a con game to get you to come back and give money and give your time and give your children to a specific God virus. I mean, nobody's giving their children to Zeus anymore.
Right.
You know, Zeus he lost out on the evolutionary race. But people are giving their children to Allah and Jehovah and Jesus and that sort of stuff.
Wait, Dr. Ray, did you say no one's giving in to Zeus? You mean to tell me he's not really throwing the lightning bolts? That was wrong?
Well, maybe I'm mistaken there. He could be. I have no evidence.
That's funny. I always thought it was Thor. So, you know.
You're right. It's not Zeus. It's Thor that's throwing those lightning bolts.
Gosh, all those guys, I get them mixed up. So there's so many of them. Sorry. Hey, and also, Dr. Ray, now, is there a vaccine for this? For this virus? How can I get the vaccine for this God virus?
Thomas, you know, everybody asked me that question. Like, I could just run down to the doctor and get a shot. Well,
cancer.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it can be a bit like that. But there's a couple vaccines. And the first one, I think, is the one that we can do most about, and that is, first, how you raise your children. And I have this little saying, if you want to vaccinate your kids against religious craziness, take them to church and lots of them. Take them to church and lots of them. Take them to the Baptist church. Take them to the Buddhist church. Take them to the Muslim church. Take them to the Unitarian church. Take them to every kind of church you can think of. Because after a while, they'll start seeing the pattern. These are all crazy religions. Every one of them have got their own particular way to teach their guilt. That's the problem with taking a kid to the same church too long. They start catching the virus. And you don't want your kids to catch the virus. You may or may not have read the research on immunity in children, but what they've found just in the last 10 or 20 years is that if children get exposed to a lot of pathogens, they will be much more resistant. They've got much more resilient immune systems. Children who are protected, who never get to go out and play in the dirt, who never get dirty, who have to take a bath twice a day and that sort of stuff, actually have higher rates of allergies and have poorer response rate on their in their immune systems. So when children go to kindergarten and they come back with all these viruses, you know, and they always come back with a sniffle or something, it's actually giving them more resilience against future infections as they become adults. And the same thing is, it's exactly the same thing with religions. Expose children to lots of them, and they're less likely to catch any of them. So that's vaccination number one. Vaccination number two is, I think, something like read the Bible. That'll help you. And I think Dusty was absolutely right. I know so few Christians that have ever sat down and just read the Bible. And what I loved about what he said was, it means what it fucking says. Don't let anybody interpret it for you. It means exactly what it says. But, you know, there's just, once a person gets infected with the God virus, it is really difficult for them to see that they have an infection. Let me give you an example. Have you ever noticed, if you ask a Christian, what's wrong with being a Mormon, they can generally tell you. Ask a Mormon, what's wrong with being a Muslim, they can generally tell you. Ask that same person what's irrational and wrong about your own religion, they cannot tell you. They become deaf and dumb. They're literally blinded to the irrationality and craziness of their own religion. Well, that's what the virus does. It blinds the person to the rational aspects of their irrational aspects of their own religion, while leaving the rational component alive and well with respect to anybody else's religion. And that's a pretty significant change if you think about it. I can fully understand what's wrong with everybody else's religion, but I can't see it in my own.
That's
a pretty strong and powerful infection. People just can't get away from that. So it's really hard for people to see how their religion has infected their brain with irrationality. I mean, I even can get a Baptist and say, tell me what's wrong with the Pentecostals, and they can tell me. or Pentecostal. Yeah. What's wrong with being a Nazarene? And they can tell you sometimes. So it's even that fine of infection. It gets really, really narrow. And then, of course, people can go to war over this kind of stupidity and say, well, my God's better than yours, and my God can beat your God up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so insidious, and so it's very difficult for people to see that. I do try to use that argument with people, although I was out playing with an evangelical a couple weeks ago, and I just asked him, I did the experiment. I said, what's wrong with X, Y, and Z religion? Boy, this guy was very well educated. He had an engineering degree, had a master's in engineering. I don't know why it is, but engineers seem to be more religious than you would expect for intelligent people like they are. But he was...
Who's going to build those churches if they don't, you know?
No. Yeah, that's probably true. And he was so articulate about what's wrong with all these... And so I just turned it around and I used his exact logic on his own religion. And his logic went down to that of about a 5 to 7 year old. He just...
Wow.
Just like, and if you think about it, when do you get infected with religion? When you're about 5 to 7 years old.
Yeah.
So if you're infected, that's before what I call your rational immune system has been developed.
Right.
Your rational immune system is developed later, when you're at least in high school. So until that time, you really don't have the critical skills to know that you're being infected with a crazy system of thinking called your particular religion.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, you know, he was a bright guy, but criticizing his religion got a logical response is equal to 5 to 7 year old.
I noticed that same thing. It's really crazy. It does that, and I think back, and I used to do the same thing. I think all of us who were religious had that same type. You could talk, you could be intelligent about everything else, but then you talk about religion, and they just change.
Right.
I call it the exorcist effect.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that part in the book, but in The Exorcist, if you saw that movie, the girl changes when the devil starts expressing itself through her behavior. Well, the same thing happens when you touch the God virus in somebody's brain, it responds really fast to you. And actually, a better name for it, a more understandable, is what I call religious defensiveness. The minute you question somebody's religion, they get very defensive. Now, I can question that person about everybody else's religion, and they don't get defensive at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even though their responses, their logic is the same. If I use the logic on them, man, they get defensive. They get their back up. They might get angry.
Oh, yeah.
Their voice may go up. I mean, it's a pretty strong effect.
I've seen it. And we're speaking with Dr. Ray, the author of The God Virus. We'll be back.
Trillion, 40 billion years, I manifest, unmanifest, then reappear. This time around, I'm 15 billion years old, from a place in the multiverse where reference points are zero. The only gods in this bitch are us. We are the species in the labs creating shit from dust. I can build the whole universe in C++, delete the source code in a repetitive series of cycles. You believe in virgin birth? Why can't you believe I can hack in the internet of another universe's earth? Spit with reckless abandon, describe my span, the distance sandwich between stars and exoplanets. Be prepared when you step into the duel. Is life the rule of thumb or the exception to the rule? Seems like an awful waste of space if it's just us. We still believe pages when they were making this shit up. And so we're clear your thoughts are private class functions in case the program and analogies haven't sunk in. I'll take it as far back as you can take it. Back when the space we currently occupy was ancient. Everything you ever knew of only happened on this one planet. Found out you evolved and you jumped in panic. Kick back, witness It's the birth of Homo sapiens offspring, cyborgs dancing around the stars like star screams. If God can be self-caused, so can the universe. Y'all can't think anything for yourself, you need a ruler first. My lyrics behave like particles and waves, every field theory united on one page. Dogmatic faith is dying or dead already. The last remaining are telling us to get our weapons ready, because I doubt they're going out without a fight. Them in the future is us in the dark without a light. You don't want me to tell you what battles like. Life and death data relayed over globally positioned satellites. You don't know when it's going down, so you travel light. It's easy to send troops to die if you believe in afterlife. If I have to erupt, you see the flash at night. Half the time I have half a mind to try to stab the mic. Human beings, open source, running updates. You might be living the simulation to find the substrate. You might as well adopt extropian principles. I always asked why, till I was sent to the principles. The likelihood of what they try to sell you is minuscule, it's minimal. I just try to inform you in general. The counter arguments I hear are just pitiful. They just give us something else to ridicule. Lyrically, I'm sitting too. Oh yeah, that's what they say. Name any other MC whose lyrics they debate. Turn it up, what the neighbors gonna say before you listen to Gray? Tuck your faith safe away in the safe, because I'm coming for it. You gave your allegiance in exchange and got nothing for it. That's what is so abhorrent. At first, they knew they had to break the African woman. She in turn would break the African youngins. The result, we'd have to latch onto something. Keep the body, take the mind. Like soldiers training and breaking slaves in ancient times. Let's take a journey up the Kardashev scale. United type 2 resources building Dyson spheres. And I won't live to see it, but it's nice to hear. Everybody'd have a right to be there. That's why you frightened and scared. Your obsolete beliefs will die with you, and your grandchildren will probably outgrow the God issue. No longer taboo to touch religion. The only thing we need left is an uprising in Muslim women. Yeah.
You're listening to the Skeptic Hour. We have special guest Daryl Ray. He's been talking with us about the God virus. So, Dr. Ray, just to sum this up, if I want to prevent this God virus from growing in my children, then you suggest I should just get a van and just take all of the kids to bar mitzvahs, communions, and
absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I've know some atheist parents who tried to raise their kids protected and away from religion, and their kids got the God virus, and now they're fundamentalists.
Wow.
Think about it. Yeah.
You know Dr. Ray? That is like the chicken pox. You might want to go get them infected now.
Because it's worse when they're an adult. Yeah.
Unless something tragic happens and that stress causes shingles, the shingle effect.
Yeah. The shingles, chicken pox stays in your system your entire life, and it comes out under stress. Well, I actually write about that in the book, that when people get under stress, that's when they get religion. I mean, mm-hmm. we all know a 35-year-old person who got Jesus. And, you know, the key thing is, he didn't get Allah, he didn't get Buddha, he got Jesus. Because it was what he was exposed to in that 5 to 7 year old time period.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a little few years either way, but whatever he was exposed to, people don't just wake up one day and said, "Oh, Allah is the answer." If they were raised in Kansas, I'll guarantee you that.
Right. not at all. And Dr. Ray, before we finish up, you have a new book coming out about sex and religion. You just finished the sex survey, right?
Yeah, we had 14,500 people help us take this survey, and they're all secularists. We didn't want anybody that was religious. So we're going to be releasing those results, and we found some really interesting things. I think I can give you one little quick fact. Getting out of religion is one of the best things you can do for your sex life. We have a lot of evidence for that. So because religion really undermines sexual happiness, no matter what your sexual orientation is.
Right. That's not what Ted Haggard said, though.
That's good old Ted. Aren't we happy that those ministers cured him of his homosexuality? I don't know if they got his meth addiction, but they got that homo stuff.
Right.
That's gone.
Yeah. So I hope your listeners will get out and look up the God virus. Also, I started a group about a year and a half ago called Recovering from Religion. And we've got groups all over the United States, from San Francisco to, San Diego to New York City to New Orleans. We got two right here in Kansas City that people meet every month to discuss and deal with the issues they're getting away from their religion, because there's a lot of pain and a lot of trauma that happens when you leave.
Right. You know, well, we're about out of time, Dr. Ray.
Okay.
And just before we go, now I'm in Kansas with you. Can I come to one of the meetups?
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to have you.
When I come there, you won't do like the alcoholic meetings where they try to get you to become more religious or convert to Christianity. You won't make me commit and accept Dawkins as God and Christian and Hitchens. You're not going to make me have Hitchens as my Lord and Savior and Bertrand Russell as the Holy Spirit or something, are you? You're not going to do that.
I'm not going to promise anything. When we put it together, we found that you only need 10 steps if you don't put God into it.
Right. Well, Dr. Ray, I appreciate you coming on the show today. And you've been listening to The Skeptic Hour. There was our guest, Dr. Daryl Ray. Please go to Amazon.com, purchase The God Virus. And our next show will be April 3rd. We'll be interviewing the religious antagonist and Zach Copeland, who's been battling the creationist in the state of Louisiana. Until next time, logic.
You can't avoid them, you can't ignore them. With every generation, they will spread the poison. The finger pointing and false anointing. The people choosing when everybody joins them.
Who are you carrying all over the bridge for? God? Is that it? God? Well, I tell you, let me give you a little insight information.